Well, we have here in John chapter 14 and verse 15, famous words of the Saviour, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And there in verse 21 also, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." And verse 24, "He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings." Well, obedience, Christian attribute. Well, of course, some things are so obvious, aren't they? The Christian must be obedient. And of course, all true Christians are obedient to their Lord, Jesus Christ. We know that there has, over the last century, been some teaching that we can somehow receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and then a bit later become more committed and take Him as our Lord. Well, that is very unbiblical. We don't read of any such teaching in the Scripture. When we come to the Saviour, when we're converted, well, we repent of our sin. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His blessed death upon the cross, and we yield our lives completely to Him. He is now our Lord, no doubt about that. So, of course, as our Lord, He is to be obeyed. Now, of course, God is our Creator. Adam and Eve, in their unfallen state, well, they were creatures of the living God. And obedience was the norm. Of course it was. It was natural to them in their unfallen state to be obedient to their God. Well, it was the expected. And also, we reckon, it was their delight to be obedient to their God and Maker. No question about that. Obedience brought them the greatest happiness. It was disobedience that brought death and unhappiness and spiritual death. Only obedience will restore that. Obedience is one of the most basic human features. And loss of obedience is the answer to so many questions concerning human life and behaviour. What's wrong with the human race? Why do things go so terribly wrong? Well, because they're disobedient to their God. They are rebels against His law and His ways. Of course, that is the most obvious thing. And of course, when we reckon that the Bible has all the answers to the great questions of life, and we ask the question, why is it that this world is in such a dreadful state? Well, the answer is simple. It's almost on every page. It's because man is disobedient to his God. He is a rebel against his Maker. Well, of course, conscience tells us of disobedience. Disobedience to God's moral law is felt and known, even by unbelievers. They understand it somewhat. They know the difference between good and bad, even if they will not admit it. And perhaps as life goes by, they disregard God's law and break it so often that their conscience is seared like a hot iron, as if by a hot iron, and therefore that conscience doesn't really operate as it ought to. But we know what's right and wrong. We know what it is to be a disobedient to all the right rules that God has placed within our hearts. Disobedience to God's moral law and even physical laws of the universe, it causes the most tremendous harm. Sometimes illness, sometimes great hardship and pain and suffering. It brings chaos when we're disobedient to the laws of God. The crucial question, of course, on the day of judgment will be, were we obedient? Were we obedient to God or not? That will be the great question. It will be put in different forms, of course, but that's the basic question. Were we obedient to our Creator? Did we turn back from being rebels and become obedient to our God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Obedience to the Lord, of course, comes from conversion. Almost the first thing that happens as a sinner that is to be saved comes to Christ is obedience. At last, that's the great difference. This person who is to be saved begins to obey. The Lord says to the sinner, "You must repent of your sin." And by the Spirit is enabled to be obedient and repents of his sin. And the Lord says to the sinner, "You are to trust in me and in my blessed death on the cross." And how that is the penalty and the payment and atonement for sin. And so the sinner by the Spirit again is enabled to be obedient, and he trusts in the Saviour. And the Lord says that we are to yield our lives completely to him. And by the Spirit again, the sinner is obedient and yields up his life. He is now the Lord's forevermore, and sets the Lord Jesus Christ as his King and Sovereign first in his life. And we are only saved as we are obedient to those instructions, and as we repent and trust and yield up our lives to the Lord, we are saved. Of course, all those things are by the enabling of the Spirit. They could never have been done on our own. From then on, obedience is the hallmark of the Christian life. We are obedient to Christ. We are obedient to our God. We are obedient to the Scriptures. We are obedient to the faithful preached word. We are obedient to our heavenly calling. Obedience is the great mark of salvation, the essential sign of true spiritual life. It is also the great giveaway to unconverted false professors of Christianity that they, in some very important aspects, are just not obedient. The Lord Jesus Christ himself makes obedience the great test of genuine conversion and the Christian faith, as we see in John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. To truly love Christ is to be converted, of course. But true love for Christ can only be seen. It can only be proved. It can only be demonstrated by keeping the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you will know this is so basic. If we love someone truly, we will only want to please them. And this is what pleases the Saviour, keeping his commandments, being obedient. Now this is very broad, keeping the commandments of the Saviour. The Lord says, my commandments. What does the Saviour mean? Hereby, keeping, obeying his commandments. Well, of course, first of all, that's the moral law, the Ten Commandments. That's certainly the laws of the Lord Jesus Christ, in all their length and breadth and their opposites. We reckon that those 10 words that were given to Moses are of course only the headings, the titles, the chief sin in a great family of sins, and they're all worked out in the book of Exodus following the 10 commandments being given. And throughout the scriptures we have the great detail of which what each of these 10 commandments must mean to the commandments of God. And so the New Testament is very clear and often repeats the Ten Commandments in so many ways, positive and negative, with instruction for believers to keep them, to obey them. The Ten Commandments are certainly his commandments. And then his commandments are, of course, his church laws. It is his church, purchased by his blood. And of course, he has his church laws, including laws and commandments of worship, how we are to worship, and his laws of service, how we're to serve the Lord, and witness, how we are to witness, and his laws concerning the thought life of his people and our desires. Yes, the New Testament especially, and also in places like the Psalms and Proverbs. Well, so much is said there concerning how we should think and consider and evaluate all things in our lives and in the world as believers. Well, this is massive. Obedient to all his commandments. Commandments that come directly from him. His own commandments and instructions directly from his lips, recorded there in the Gospels, like, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's a big commandment that needs to be obeyed. And then through the apostles, by the New Testament letters, massive amounts of instructions and commandments that are for Christ's church and for Christ's people, all to be obeyed. And then the principles of the whole Bible in its obvious application to the Lord's people. All the Old Testament written for our admonition, our learning, our instruction. All we can be sure are commandments of Christ our Saviour, all to be obeyed, looked into, seeing how they are to be applied in our lives and the life of the church, and then obeyed. If you love me, keep. The word is guard. Keep, guard, watch over, be obedient to my commandments. We have to be obedient to the Bible, to Scripture, in all that it says to us, in all that it demands of us, in all that it instructs us in. This is very much to do with the preaching ministry that God has set up in the church for ministry, to preach the commandments in their widest sense and to exhort to obedience the people of God. Well, we find it not so easy to look through the scriptures and see things that we ought to do and then be obedient to them, but the preacher will do it, and that's what the ministry is for very often, so that he can point out where we need to go, what we need to do, how we need to think, everything to do with our church and our Christian lives and our witness in the world. Well, the preacher has the great privilege of pressing those things, and we need a pressing ministry. We need ministry that points out these things, the myriad of things in which we need to be obedient, and remind the people of God where they need to be obedient, and to warn people what happens when they're not obedient. Well, that is God's gift to the church, a preaching ministry. And if it is a very unbalanced ministry, perhaps some ministries, that they might be all devotional. Well, people lap it up. They love it. Here is a preacher. He so loves to preach of Christ and the Saviour and worship in the heart and prayer and thanks to God. Well, of course, that's great. That's wonderful. That's what preaching ought to do. But not all the time. There needs to be a different kind of ministry sometimes, where things are pressed upon our hearts and upon our lives. And if it's missing, if there's not that balance that there ought to be, rightly dividing the word of God in all its aspects, in all the ways that it ought to teach the people and instruct them so that then they can be obedient, well, then much is missed out on. Well, or if there's mainly explanation of the scripture with very little application, or hardly any insistence on these things. Well, that characterises much ministry today. And it really means you're missing out on all this being obedient to the commandments of Christ. For God to speak, the intention is for us to hear and to obey. And in the Bible, where God speaks, to hear, to hearken, is to obey. We were thinking last week, when we were thinking of loyalty. Well, those servants of the king were ready to do whatsoever the king should appoint. Their point was that they wanted to be obedient to King David at that time. And we, of course, to our greater King David in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has spoken, so we must obey. Now, obedience for a Christian is not just outward compliance, but the obedience of the heart, same as worship. We know the scripture warns us about worship that's just from our lips, but with our hearts far from the Lord. So it's the same with obedience. It must come from the heart. It's not just an outward, just keeping the rules, as it were. Many professing Christians are able to keep up an outward obedience of sorts. Some to a very great degree. But where is the heart? This is also human. We have grown up as those perhaps that have learned to be obedient in our outward behaviour. And to some extent we are able to do it almost automatically. We're those sort of people. So we're obedient as we grow up to parents and then to teachers and to the state. But has it often been half-hearted and even begrudging? Many children very obedient to their parents, but you see the look on their faces when they are obedient. It's not as if they want to be. To what extent does our Christian obedience flow from hearts that first love our Saviour? Because we love him, we keep his commandments. Well, let's just turn forward to John's letter, first letter, where he carries on the same theme. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. John says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." So keeping the commandments shows that we know him. We know him, of course, in a spiritual way and in a personal way. And then 1 John 3 and verse 24, where we have this. "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him." Well, keeping the commandments, it shows that we stay with him. We dwell with him. We walk with him. We abide with him. And they're the same sorts of words that are used in the New Testament. So keeping the commandments is a heart thing. It means that we abide in him. We want to be with him always. And then 1 John 5 and verse 3, where we have this. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. It shows that we obey not by compunction, but because of love to God. So Christian obedience is not just outward compliance, but inward love and devotion. We keep the commandments not just to show that we love him, but we keep the commandments because we do love him. And it's not grievous to us, it's not a burden. The commandments are not heavy, they are my saviours. This is a great contrast, of course, with religion in general. All religions are outward compliance to a set of rules. The word religion is the word observance. It means observing, keeping the rules. That's what religion is, keeping the rules. Much religion is forced. We know that's true in many places in the world. Much religion is just habit. Much religion is fear. Some religion is enjoyed for personal pleasure. Some people enjoy keeping the rules, and it brings to them a certain satisfaction and pleasure. There's even the practice of religion that brings some sort of satisfaction to people's lives. But true Christian obedience is always because we love him. Him, our Saviour. Christian obedience is motivated by love to the Saviour because of what he has done for us and because of who he is. We know it pleases him. We want to please him. It's what he wants. And nothing of what he wants is irksome, burdensome to us, grievous to us. We love it all. We want to be obedient if we're truly the Lord's. And obedience is not a vague matter. Much preaching and modern Christian teaching speaks of obedience to God, yes, but very little detail is given. Much liberal talk of obedience to God is nothing more than shallow moral teaching. Be good. Not much more than that. Be kind to your fellow man. There's not much more to it than that. When many professing Christians and churches speak of being obedient, really there's not much detail to it. It has nothing to say about obedience in worship, really nothing to say about obedience as members of a church. Much so-called Christian teaching on obedience has nothing to say about obedience as to our deep obligation to witness and to stand for the truth. For instance, in a church like the Church of England, I'm not just picking on that, but many other denominations as well, but in a church like the Church of England, if it's asked, what do you have to believe to be a member of that church, the answer really is practically anything you like. If you want to be a member of that body, you would presumably have some attachment to an historical Christ, perhaps an attachment to a religious body that is supposed to stand for him. But as to believing the Bible to be in the inerrant word of God, well, you don't have to actually believe that to be a member of the Church of England, or that Jesus Christ is truly divine. We don't have to actually believe that with all sincerity, or that Jesus Christ was physically resurrected from the dead, or that there is a real hell in eternity. None of those things are necessary to belong to that body. But then neither is obedience to anything more than an accepted morality, which today is far below the absolute standard set by the Bible. Obedience in many even so-called Christian denominations is very much what you please. What you please is very subjective. I think obedience is this way of living. I think obedience is that way of living. Or coming to this conclusion on certain things. But it's not obedience to the scripture. And it certainly doesn't come from the heart. And it certainly isn't anything to do with loving the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot hold to that sort of understanding of Christian obedience. That is why we so often pore through the Bible, and especially the New Testament, and especially the letters, which give us in the most minute detail how we are to live, how we are to worship, how we are to gather as churches, how we are to serve and witness, and indeed how we are to pray, and how we are to think, and how we are to behave in the church and outside of it. How we are to live as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. How we are to love and show kindness. How we are to read the Bible. How we are to listen to preaching. How we are to respond to countless situations and troubles in life. And how we are to process all the affairs of life in a spiritual way. the Bible tells us how we are to do all these things with the most powerful exhortations and commandments to obey what the Lord has told us. This is to be a very large part of the Christian ministry and personal study of the Bible. What is the Bible telling me to do? Well then, I must obey it. Simple as that. Let's think just for a moment about the different areas of obedience. Of course, there is that moral obedience to the moral law, the Ten Commandments, as I was saying earlier, in all its fullness, as taught throughout the scripture. We're to be obedient to the moral law. It is the standard, the high standard of Christian living, even in this most obvious matter. We must be obedient, although of course very often we find that people even ignore that, even in so-called preaching. There is such a breadth to the law of God. That's why we often come back to the Ten Commandments, and quite often as we go through the letters, that's what we're studying, the moral law of God. And so that ought to be. That's a great area where we ought to be obedient. And then there is the church. Obedience to the church structure set up in the New Testament. And, of course, obedience to the worship that is set out clearly in the Bible. And those that have the rule over us, not the people, but, of course, the word that they bring to us. All taught. And we are to be obedient to all these things concerning the church. And then our Christian service and witness and stand. We are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in our families, in our business, in our neighbourhood, corporately, from the church, so the support of gospel work here and elsewhere, all is taught from the scripture and is to be obeyed as we see it. And then there is, of course, our personal spiritual life, prayer, reading and studying of the Bible, our thought life, our personal devotions, all the Bible teaching to do with our feelings. And we are taught not to feel sorry for ourselves. And we are taught what our demeanour ought to be towards others, our desires and our ambitions. The Bible is very clear on all these matters. Our personal fight against sin and, of course, disobedience. Massive teaching from the Bible about ourselves. And we must obey and keep the spiritual rules for a spiritually healthy life. And then there are other areas of obedience, of course. We home in on on the family, all the rules the scripture gives us concerning how we're to order our families, mothers and fathers, and treating our spouses. Of course, we are to be obedient in all that it tells us and commands us and exhorts us in. And of course, business life, not just the witness, but how we do the job itself. And of course, recreation, where we're very careful to follow what the scripture says and be obedient to it. Well, what we read and the sort of pleasures that we might engage in. Well, the Bible is full of details about obedience to the Lord in all these areas. It's not enough for preachers to say, well, of course, we must be obedient. Well, obedient to what? And for the professing Christian to say, well, I must be obedient, but to what? It's all so vague, so often. For so many, in so many churches, Christian obedience is nothing more than turning up. Nothing much is insisted on, and nothing much is expected of a professing Christian. Nothing much is pointed out as to areas and things, specific things in which we ought to be obedient. Why? You wonder why we have so much in the Bible. There's so much there, masses of material, and so many commands. It's not even looked at. Or even looked at as mere advice by so many. No. Obedience is what God expects of us in a whole host of matters that the Bible deals with and which become the delight of every real believer to obey, because by that they show that they love the Saviour. If you love me, keep my commandments. What is disobedience? Well, disobedience. We mention a few things. Worldly music in worship. It's disobedience. Disobedience is not praying properly or personally. Not praying in the church. Disobedience is shrugging our shoulders at personal sin. Disobedience is worshipping in a cold manner. Disobedience is discounting the church as sort of optional. Well, I might go or I might not. Disobedience is feeling sorry for ourselves. Disobedience is not putting the Saviour first. Disobedience is not having a real and practical care for the gospel. Masses of things. You see, these are the opposites of what we have been speaking of. Disobedience, where the thought life is centred on just the domestic, the mundane, or entertainment. Disobedience is covetousness, worldliness, being discontent and wanting so much of what we don't have. Disobedience is anything we know the Bible to speak of and we do not conform to it, do not delight in it, do not keep it. We know full well what disobedience is. Christian obedience makes us completely different people. Now I want you to turn to 1 Peter 1 and verse 14. 1 Peter 1 in verse 14, where we have this: as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former desires in your ignorance. You see this? As obedient children. This is what we're commanded to be like. That is, conducting ourselves as becomes the children of God, by obeying his commands, submitting to his will, and doing what our Father says. And in all those ways, we will be so different from unbelievers, not fashioning yourselves, not modelling your life on what you used to be in your old pre-converted days, which was all disobedience to God. But now, as your heavenly Father wants you to obey him in all things, this will make us so different. Before conversion, we were completely selfish. Before conversion, we lived for personal gratification. Before conversion, we lived for ourselves without any regard for what God wanted. We disobeyed God's word. Before conversion, we followed what others did and thought. We never thought about what God wanted. And now we are governed by a different rule, a different set of standards. The commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible itself, that is to shape our lives and thinking now. We were ignorant of what God wanted, but not now. Now we know what he wants, and what's more, we so want to do it, to be obedient. We are now so different. Christian obedience makes us completely different people. And Christian obedience is a powerful witness, such a powerful witness. Romans 16 verse 19, we have there, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf." Well, the obedience of the Christians at Rome, well, it was shown to all men. Everybody was remarking on it and looking at it and talking about it. As obedience makes us so different, so obedience makes us to become famous in a way. We bemoan the fact that it's so hard to get a hearing for the gospel, but this does it. If we find a Christian that is determined to be obedient in all things, they get a hearing for the gospel because they're so different. Same goes for a church. Obedience is such a powerful witness. And obedience is the test of fellowship. Well, sometimes we wonder about the reasons that we should put anyone outside of the church. But in 2 Thessalonians 3, 14, we read, "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle," note that man, "and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed." I should think if that rule were kept, our churches would be empty. There wouldn't be hardly anyone left. Well, perhaps I'm exaggerating. But the Apostle Paul says, really, in any important matter, if someone is not obedient to his word, Paul's word, the Holy Spirit's word, in the epistles that he writes to them, if someone is in a serious way disobedient to that word, then he's to be disfellowshipped. It's as strong as that. Obedience is all or nothing. We cannot pick and choose. We have in 2 Corinthians 2:9, "For to this end did also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things." This is the proof, as we said earlier. Paul wanted a proof that the Corinthians were going on with the Lord, that they were seeking to have a good witness there in Corinth, in that wicked, wicked city. And the proof of it was their obedience in all things, everything he had instructed them in. While he was there for those 2 years or so, and in the letters that he sent to them, what's the proof that they are going on with the Lord and care about the Saviour and have a love for the gospel? The proof is they were obedient in all things. We must obey preaching. We must obey preaching, not because the preacher says so, of course not, but because it is the word of God. We're talking about faithful preaching, of course. We have this important verse, Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, not in a personal way to those men, but submit yourselves to the Bible and to the preaching that they teach. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. When the people are obedient to the word of God, then the ministry is happy and the church is happy and they go on with the Lord. Much that is to be obeyed will come through the ministry. We must not neglect it or dismiss it. And we ask, do we love the Saviour? This isn't anything personal to get a greater hearing for some preacher in a personal way. Of course not. It has to do with the fact that the preaching ministry is set up to bring out these things in the scripture, to insist upon Christian lives that these are the things in which we ought to be obedient. And this is the thing that God delights in. Well, obedience is what the Holy Spirit is looking for. It's what God wants. It's God's will for our lives, our sanctification. It's what our Saviour has given his life's blood, that we might be forgiven. We are his workmanship unto good works, doing his commandments. Well, if we would please the Lord, then we must look to obedience. Do you remember Paul's letters to Philemon, sending the runaway slave home, Onesimus, and asking certain things of Philemon? And he says to him in verse 21, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Well, surely if we love the Lord, we want to do so much more by way of obedience. We ask the question of ourselves, are our Christian lives characterised by obedience to the Lord in all that he shows us? Or we pray that by the grace of God they might be. Amen. Amen.